Okay, I'm going to talk on the subject of the rise of team science. In some sense, you know, why are we all here? And we're all here because team science has become the norm in science, in social science, and it's become a source of very high impact work. And what I want to do is help us think about why that has happened, which can also give us some instruction about the directions we're heading in as well. So I'm going to start by giving you a very, very simple theory for why we might be moving to a world that in which teams are increasingly important in the production of knowledge. And to do that, let me just start with a couple of very simple observations, which is the first, you know, scientists are not born as experts. We don't come out ready to go. We come out not knowing a whole lot about the world. In fact, we spend quite a bit of our early life cycle engaged in education. Particularly as scientists, we engage in a significant amount of education. And once you see that training is an important early component in the scientist's career, you can then ask the following question. What happens if, as science advances, an intrinsic feature of scientific advance is that we may accumulate new knowledge? Fields may deepen. There's more to know, a greater volume of received wisdom about valuable ideas, facts, theories, methods I might want to go learn. But we're born in every generation equally blank. Okay. So over time, how we approach that training challenge, if you will naturally evolve. Okay, and it will evolve naturally on two simple dimensions. First, well, if there's more to know, if a field's deeper, maybe I'll decide to spend longer in my training phase. It used to be that the bachelor's degree was the capstone degree in electrical engineering. These days, you can get the PhD or the postdoc more often. Okay. So partly I might spend more time in training, but secondly, I might just choose narrower expertise. I can't possibly know all this information, so I'll just be narrower, so if you will, a death of the Renaissance man kind of effect. Aristotle had certain advantages way back when that aren't afforded to us today. You can't possibly embrace the 950,000 papers being published every year in science and engineering journals these days. So what's the implication? Well, the implication is that individual capacity will decline. Partly, I spend more of my life engaged in training in the front end, so that leaves less time potentially for innovation. That's not what I'm going to focus on today so much. The second is that, well, if I'm narrower and I want to have a broad impact idea, I may not have the capacity either creatively to dip into those other buckets of expertise, both to come up with the idea or to implement an idea by myself because I'm increasingly narrow. So you know, the Wright brothers came up with an airplane. But the 787 is a rather different enterprise. It's transportation technology. It flies, but it's got material science and airframe design and jet engines and command and control systems that are extremely complicated and draw on very different specialized kinds of engineering, lots of different people with different kinds of PhDs. So to look at one set of evidence on this point, this comes from a paper which kind of gives you three facts. The upper panel, I know it's a bit hard to read from deep in the room especially, that's showing you the age at which people get their first patent in the US patent data. Okay? And what you see is that the age at first patent has been increasing over time. Okay? Another work I've looked at, you can see that, for example, the age at which people do the thing for which they win the Nobel Prize has also gone up over time. People still do it at young ages sometimes. You know, Einstein was 26 in 1905. It was a good year for him. Heisenberg, 25, about 20 years later. That's still possible, but it's increasingly unlikely, both in Nobel Prize-winning research, both in applied science, both in great invention. It still happens, but it's increasingly unlikely. What we see is an aging, okay? But look at the bottom two panels, because that's where we get into team science. That's the other aspect, that you would become narrower. On the left panel, I'm looking at a measure of how broad your knowledge is. What I'm looking at is I'm looking at inventors, people who get US patents, and I'm asking, if you're a solo inventor, you do it by yourself, what's the chance that you're going to jump to a new technological category between consecutive patents? And what you see is that the probability that people jump fields as solo inventors is declining over time. In other words, people seem to be in narrower technological areas. They're less likely to shift areas. On the right panel, you're showing the trend in the average number of inventors per patent. It's going way up. The people are becoming narrower as individuals. Teams can overcome that potentially. In fact, if you look at the probability that a person switches technological areas over time, but when they're working in teams, they jump as often today as they did before. So teamwork can overcome that increasing narrowness that we see in the lower left figure. And work I've done with Brian Utzi here and also Stefan Vukti, who's now at the NIH, we've looked in general, using Web of Science data, so looking at, say, 20 million papers published in various fields, the tendency first for teams to increase in size, the tendency for people to start working in teams. And what you find is not only that team science is becoming the norm, it's becoming the norm everywhere. Just essentially virtually every single field of science and engineering or social sciences, for example, or patenting, you see an increase in teams. What this figure is showing you on the left axis is the number of authors on a paper on average. Okay, and a dot, one of those kind of brown-purple dots, is in a given year, which is measured along the x-axis, what was the average team size in that field. And what you see is that dot cloud is moving up. The big black line is the average across all fields. Okay? If you look at 170 different fields of science and engineering, you tend to see in almost all of them, the team size is increasing in all fields of social science, in all fields of patenting. Further, another fact I want to show you with regard to paper publications is about impact. Because people are choosing to work more in teams over time with increasing propensity. Teams might be able to overcome that narrowness, allowing you to get towards broader impact ideas. And one of the things that we've seen is that teams tend to produce papers that are higher impact in the sense that they are more often cited than solo authors today. Okay? But not only is that true, but it's increasing with time. The relative team advantage is increasing with time. So what this is measuring is take a dot. A dot in that graph is in a particular year for a particular field, say some field of science and engineering. What's the average number of citations received by team-authored papers divided by the average number of papers received by solo-authored papers in that field? So if it's above one, teams have an advantage. If it's below one, solo-authors have an advantage. And what you can see here is that, you know, these days, at the end of these graphs in 2005, almost every field is above one. In social sciences are here, science and engineering is here. Patents are over here. You see, today, teams sort of have this universal advantage. But that wasn't the case back in the 50s, say. In the 50s, often the solo authors had the average advantage. Okay? So it's not just that there's an advantage with teams, but there's been a shift, an increasing move to teams, both in their people's choices to work in teams, but in them being the source of what are ultimately higher impact ideas. A third fact I don't have here to show you is that if you look at the highest impact papers, the chance of hitting a home run, maybe we care particularly about those papers or those patents. When writing in a team, your probability of hitting a home run is about 4.5 times today what it is if you go to the plate, if you will, as a solo batter. Okay? And that's true both in science and engineering and social sciences. Okay, so it's a very general advantage, not just on average, but even for the very highest impact work, which you might care most about. So I have a short amount of time. I've only given you an inkling of some of the evidence on this, but I hope enough to see how much science has changed and how ubiquitous that is. What do we see? We see increasing teamwork and specialization. We also see increasing education. In fact, the invention of whole new forms of apprenticeship, like postdocs. Mostly that I want to emphasize, we've seen a change in organization of innovative activity. A simple theory for that is people are born with empty minds in all generations, but knowledge is accumulating, so people become increasingly narrow. They collaborate to overcome narrowness, allowing them to get higher impact, and that's sort of the main mechanism to consider. And work that Brian is going to preview shortly, with Mike Stringer, who's here, is thinking about, you know, unpacking that team. When is it that people are combining knowledge and producing high impact? We'll get more to that in a few minutes. Okay. Thank you.